Well, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Thumbs up. All right. Alive and kicking. All right. Let's see. We got 2, 4, 6. Okay. Won't you just, let's see. So y'all already talking and fellowshipping, right?
Yeah. Working hard.
Working hard on it. All right. Huh?
So that's my biggest gift, is a gift of gab.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you turn me down just a little? Randy, can you turn me down just a little bit? Okay. All right. Now, is that a little bit? Okay. I didn't want to blast you because I might get loud. You know what I'm saying? All right. But we've been talking about the great exchange on Wednesday night. So we're just going to share a little bit about that this morning with the class. I know some of y'all be here on Wednesday night, so you might get a double blast of it. Okay, but it'll be all right, right? Okay, turn to Romans the 5th chapter. And looking for my glasses, and I got them right here. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. And God, this is a day that you have made, Father. And God, we choose to rejoice in it, Lord. So, Father, we thank you this morning. We pray, God, that you would just speak through us this morning. And God, we thank you for revelation and insight and wisdom. But most of all, God, we thank you for application. Lord, to do it, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom how to explain how that works. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, all right.
First.
let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. No, I'm messing with John. No. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. We have fun. He always keep me on the spot. When I said that I forget the chapter and verse, I think he's taking on that to remind me. Don't forget the chapter and verse, okay? All right. Let's see, I said verse 15, I mean verse 12, John. Yeah. Yep. All right, Romans 5, verse 12. All right, you got it?
Yes.
All right, let's read together. What does it say? Therefore, just as though one man sinned entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spreads to all men because of sin. Okay? All right? Did y'all get that? Got it? You good? Oh, okay. All right. You'll get there. Okay? So notice what it says. Therefore, through one man. Who was the one man?
Adam.
Watch out, Miss.
I had it back.
Yeah. Nah.
But I don't have it back.
Right, huh? That's all right. I understand where you were coming from. Okay. It says, through one man entered the world and death through sin. Okay. And notice the difference in the word sin. There's S-I-N. Okay. So it brought forth spiritual death or the sin nature. Okay. So, as we read this, we have to look at this, and many a times, if we're not careful, you know, some people think we're still under the curse of Adam and Eve, but how many know we're not?
That's right.
Thank God for that. So the great exchange that came, Jesus came and took our place. The Bible said that he who knew no sin became sin for us. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, okay? And what we have to understand was sin brought forth death. What death did it bring?
Spiritual,
okay? And because of spiritual death, it also affected what? The physical death, okay? And when you look at this, you know, when we begin to look back at Adam, God gave him a command. He told him, he said, now you can eat of every tree of the garden freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, lest thou what? Surely die. Okay? And how many know Adam partook of the forbidding tree? Okay? Now, what we have to understand is when Adam partook of that tree, what happened? We know it, spiritual death came, but what else happened? Separation, that's one. What else? He handed over authority to the enemy. That's two. Come on, think about it. Okay, he felt guilty, okay. But before then, he wasn't what? Feeling guilty, right? Good point. What else? That's three. The curse. Okay, he bought the curse. Four. He felt the shame. Five. What else? He hid from God. He what? He realized he was naked. Okay. Had to get out of the garden. Which the earth paid the price as well, the curse. Okay, what else?
Now women's labor is a lot worse.
That's for y'all ladies, that ain't for us. Okay, okay. What else?
And it required the first sacrifice.
It required the first sacrifice, okay. What else did he lose?
Fellowship with God.
Awesome, yes. His dominion. Now we're getting there. Because God said what? He said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness and let them rule over the fish of the sea. Have dominion. And that dominion comes from what? Kingdom. Okay? So Adam really lost his kingship. He had to go to work. That's right.
That's a good point, that work is not a result of the curse.
No.
God had given Adam and Eve work to do.
Exactly.
And in the new heavens and new earth, we probably will still have work to do.
Uh-huh.
But
it won't be labor.
Curse.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Yes. And work is a good thing. It comes from worship, worth. You know, we won't go into all that. But before God ever gave Adam a wife, he gave him a job. What was his job?
Naming animals.
Dress and keep the garden. Cultivate. Take care of this garden that I'm giving you. Notice God didn't say, I'm going to take care of the garden. I want you to take care of the garden. So now we are responsible for what? Taking care of the garden. How many know God is the great landlord? And he's given it to us to take care of planet Earth. Thy will be done what? In earth as it is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So as Brother Ed stated, we're going to be working, but we're not laboring. We're working, and guess who's working with us? Jesus is. So you get the picture now, okay? Another thing Adam lost was his esteem, his dignity. And that's why we see in families what we call the generational curse, okay? And because of that is each generation, which my dad, I shared a little bit about this Wednesday night, my dad was a great dad, but he wasn't a great father. You say, well, what's the difference? Fathers does what? Discipline and teach. Bring instructions. Teach you wisdom. Okay? Fathers does that, okay? Remember, Paul said in Corinthians, he said, though you have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. Spiritual fathers raise up what? Spiritual sons, okay? And this is what we have to understand in the body of Christ is this, that when you have a shepherd, how many know we're like sons? You know, a shepherd is like a father, but he's preparing us and he's instructing us as sons and daughters to become more like our heavenly Father. Under shepherds point us to the big shepherd, right? It's not my agenda, but it's his agenda. And my agenda is to relay to you the heart or the mind of the Father. That's why we can't beat the sheep. That's why we shouldn't beat them. Why? Because we are showing them the heart and the love and the care of a father. What a shepherd does, he protects what? The sheep. Now, I did a study on the sheep, and some people say they just dumb, but they're really not dumb. I know we say they are, but think about this. They're really unique and smart. If you have, Brother Ed has a flock of sheep, and he takes care of those sheep, do you realize I can come to his flock and say to those sheep anything I want to, repeat what he says, and the sheep won't move? But let Ed begin to speak to the sheep, and they begin to flock. That's real. That's reality. That's what they'll do. They did experiments on this, and as I was studying, they showed the video, and they had shepherds to come in from all over the county, but the shepherd of the sheep was there also. And they got this little sound that they called the sheep, but all the other shepherds was doing the call, but the sheep just kept on grazing. Keep on grazing. And Jesus said, my sheep know my what?
Voice.
Watch this. Because when the real shepherd began to speak, the sheep quit grazing and come to the shepherd. Okay? You say, well, what does that have to do with the garden? Remember, Adam could hear the voice of the shepherd, but something had happened to separate him from what? Running to him. He ran from him. And God is saying, I want my people to run to me. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Are you getting this? God is saying, come boldly to the throne of grace. He didn't say tip to me. Come boldly. That boldly means I'm running and I'm laying it all before you, Father, uncondemned. Why? Because of the relationship we have now. But see, what Adam lost was his fellowship, his relationship, his kingdom. And see, he was crowned. What was Adam crowned with? Anybody know?
Shame.
Before the fall. Now, after the fall, you're right. It was shame. But what was he crowned with before the fall?
What?
Glory. Okay, yes. Glory and honor. You know, if you look up that word glory, what it really means is esteem, recognition for what a person is. Now, I know we get the glory of God. You go in the Old Testament, it is the weighty and all these other definitions. But what the Bible says, and to bear that out, I think it's in Psalms 8 or 9, it says, you know, oh, Lord, how majestic is your, you know, he could consider the stars and the moon. He said, but what is man that thou art mindful of him? That you crown him with what? Glory and honor. That's what he was crowned with. But we read in the scriptures that through him he brought what? Sin brought forth death. So, What God did through his son was to redeem us and to bring us back into what? Glory and honor. Not esteeming ourselves, but we have dignity now. We know who we are in Christ.
Amen.
See, we know who we are in Christ. Well, how does that work? Okay, it says here, this one man brought forth what? Sin, that the results of sin and the penalty of sin was what? Spiritual death. Now, when you look at the world, you got to understand that they don't understand because they're still on the what? Spiritual death. Therefore, you and I have the key and to unlock the spiritual death that's covering them. Through who? Jesus Christ. Right? All right. So let's read this again. We're looking at this because when God created the man, he placed him in the garden. He told him to keep it and take care of it, dress it and cultivate it, take care of this. But when he disobeyed God, and I'm going to tell you something, and don't hold on to your seat, because how many know heaven is a promise? But do you realize the biggest threat is not you going to heaven with the enemy? The biggest threat is not me getting into heaven. The biggest threat now is he don't want me to come to the realization and the knowledge of who I am in Christ and what Christ has provided for me. You know why? Because that will work in planet Earth. That will work in the earth. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be a battle. So God wants us to understand now the importance of not just going to heaven. We're going to heaven. I'm not taking heaven away from you. We're going there. We're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. Oh, excuse my French. We don't use that word no more, John. But it's in the Bible. So I got permission to use it. It's a real place, and it's an eternal place. Thank God that we have escaped hell. We don't have to go there to the torment and all these evil things that we see taking place. We don't have to go there, but we can encourage one another that, brother, just keep on believing and trusting God. It might not feel good right now. You might be suffering right now, but it's just for a little while. And we going home. Won't be no more of this. Yes, sir.
I've recently been around some old-time Southern gospel.
Okay.
And it's interesting. How many of those songs are about heaven?
Yes.
And I believe it's because back in the day, life was a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Happier we are the here and now. You don't hear very many sermons these days about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like here in America where we
got
the American dream and got all this good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame.
Yep. Yeah, okay. You about there, brother. Almost. But do you understand what we're saying? Okay, I don't want you to not understand. See, he's talking about bringing the distinguishing between Adam and Christ. And we need to identify with who?
Christ,
okay? But we need to understand what happened in the garden so that we can enjoy our experience. Notice what I said, our experience with Christ. I want to share something. I was meditating on this. I want to share something that came up. If the Holy Spirit will bring it back up the way it came to me. How many know the Holy Spirit can bring stuff to you? And it was our pledge allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrected Son in whom I trust. And I said, what did that? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because how many know our allegiance is to a lot of things that's not Christ. And we need to, our allegiance need to be to him. Why? Because he paid the price for you and I for our freedom. We know men and women have fought in the army and things. I'm not denying that, but I'm talking about spiritual things, okay? Because Christ is the only one that could get us out of spiritual death. The only one. Muhammad couldn't do it. Say it again.
I said,
he's still dead. Islam and all these things, Buddha and all these different religions, there hasn't been but one that went to the grave and resurrected. And that's Jesus Christ. But when he resurrected, guess who else got up? We did. We did. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in who? Us. Because we have his spirit, now we can have what? True communion. True fellowship. True koinonia that Adam lost in the garden. True intimacy, which we think, well, you know, we don't need all that. But how many know that's important? Because that's one thing that you don't have to be in the four walls to do. Communion and fellowshipping with God. Intimacy with him. I mean, you know that many a times we miss these things because we think that our prayer life should be about, Lord, you know, you need to bless my four. You need to bless this. But how many know, how about let's just go in the presence of God. Lord, I just thank you for who you are. I just thank you for what you did for me. I don't want to say anything, Lord. I just want to sit here and just think on your goodness. See, we have that freedom now to do that, but many a times if we're not careful, we'll think, well, you know, we're operating out of a curse. How many know we're not operating out of a curse anymore, even though we talked about it, but how many know Jesus have redeemed us from the curse? And we're no longer under a law of old covenant. The law that we're under now is the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, that sets me free from the law of sin and what? Death. You want to keep getting free? Keep feeding on the Word of God. Keep feeding on the Word of God. Because Jesus told those Jews in John, I think it's 8, maybe 32, I think it's around in there. You can check it out. But he said these words. He said, to those who believe, he said, because you believe, I'm just paraphrasing, okay? Because you believe, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, become one with that truth, you'll begin to experience that truth, and because you experience and know that truth, it's going to make you free. Jesus said these words. He said, the flesh profits nothing, but it is the spirit that gives life. What does you mean, the spirit? The life-giving spirit that's freeing me from all condemnation and the inferiority, the shame, the regrets. You know, how many live with regrets?
Yes.
See, you got to let that go. You know why? Because once you confess your sin to Jesus, guess what he said? I won't remember him no more. So why are you remembering? I fought this battle. I know what it feels like to live in regret. God, if I just had known this back when I was 25, Lord, have mercy. Look, well, what are you going to do with it now, John?
Yep.
Let's bring it into, what are we going to do with it now? Okay? See, so we got to quit living in regret. We got to let it go and begin to embrace what Christ has done for us. See, and the way we do that is partake of his word so that we will understand and grasp what he has done and begin to do what? Apply it to our lives. Because that's what's going to bring freedom. Me going back rehearsing, and I know they teach you this in inner healing, you know, because I've been through inner healing, I've done inner healing, and I understand a little bit about inner healing. Don't understand it all, but I understand a little bit that they want you to tell your story, but how many know there has to come a time that you move beyond your story? We all have a story. Oh, Jesus, I felt the Spirit. We all have a story. We all can go back and see, you know, well, I was wounded because the way mom or dad said this, or a teacher said this, or somebody said this to me. Yes, I've been operating out of that wound, but guess what? The Bible says that Jesus healed our wounds. He bore our iniquities. He healed us from the bruise and the things that happened to us. That's why he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he knew that what was going on. He knew what happened to us. And you said, if God knew that, why did he let it happen? Because evil man can do good, and good man can do evil. And I don't hold it against my dad. I realize because he was only operating what he was gave in his generation. And sometimes we say, well, why didn't God intervene? Because God gave it to him to learn and read and study and pray and know what I had for him so that he will escape the curse, and therefore I would escape the curse in an earlier life. See, God has it set up if we would just begin to come under the authority of the Word of God. If we will come under the authority of the Word, I'm telling you, your marriage would be better. Your children would be better. Your life would be better. Not bitter, but better. But we have to learn these things, and how are we going to learn them? Through teaching, preaching, and reading, and studying the Word of God. Well, God, what do you say about this? Yes, sir. I beg the difference.
me in my own life, and I think about these generational curses and things, and the impact that, that I have made on my kids, and now my grandkids are coming along.
Yeah.
It's not always great.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Try to be the nicest guy in the county, and that sounds like a good thing, but it was not honest, and it was not real.
Mm-hmm.
So now some of my kids have adopted that.
Yep.
And they bottled up stuff inside of them that has just festered.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we get desperate enough, and when we start seeing some of the damage maybe that we've caused,
yeah.
Isn't God sweet?
Yes. Mercy.
He, you know, even this old dog.
Yep.
He's ready to
teach
show
us
things to.
Yes.
And to heal stuff there. And
yes.
To transform and change. Not just for me.
Yep.
But now I'm thinking about how can I pass that along and undo some of the damage?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you're saying, because, you know, what I had to do is I went back and I repented to my kids. You know, not because, well, you're the preacher now, so you. No. When I begin to see it, I see that, like Brother Ed said, I seen the damage I had caused. I had really gave them a perverted, not perverted, but a twisted view. What perversion means is twisted, okay? It's not, sometimes we think, well, oh, that's a nasty word. But how many know Adam was distorted? See, and we was distorted.
Yes.
And this is why I share with a lot of young men, you know, hey, man, the greatest thing now is your family. Make sure that you show them the love of the Father. Because what I did to my kids is when they would do good, I reward them. Hey, you did good. We're going to go get ice cream. So they thought every time they do good, something's supposed to happen. But when they did bad, punishment came. So now they have a view of dad as what? When I do good, he loved me. But when I do bad, he don't love me. But the father says, I love you in the good, the bad, the stinking, and the ugly, and all the other stuff underneath all that. I love you unconditionally. So I had to learn how to love my kids unconditionally. Whether you do good or bad or not, daddy loves you. Daddy is here for you. But when you do wrong, daddy got to discipline you.
In love.
In love, not abuse. Okay. And you know what one of my kids said? Dad, I'd rather for you to whoop me than talk to me. Get it over in a hurry. Because the discipline came is, son, you don't do this. This is why you don't do this. This is what's going to happen if you do this. Dad, I'd rather for you to just whoop me instead of talking to me. It ain't going to happen. Dad, no better now. That spirit that's still there when I whooped you, he gonna still be there. But if I can give you some insight, that spirit can be uprooted out of you. Yes, the Father's love. And we learn these things, like Brother Ed, through hindsight. I didn't know this. You know, I read the Bible, but now that I see these things, I realize why I was acting the way I was acting was really, even though I was saved, I was still operating out of what? A generational thing that had been handed down to me through a fallen man, which thought he was doing the best he knew how to do. But I love my dad. We made it right before he died, you know, when he was on his deathbed. You know, they thought he was going to die, but he got out and he lived for 3 months. And I was running a revival, and I never will forget, he came to the revival, and he surrendered his life to Christ. And he came to me, and he said, son, forgive me for not being there. And you talking about freedom. And people say, well, did you, I remember getting whoopings. We call it whoopings, you know, but. You know, that's what we call it. I remember getting whoopings, you know. I mean, with some switches. I know some people don't know what a switch is. But I remember those times. But I'm not saying abuse your kids. I'm not saying that. But deal with them in love. Discipline. See, when we know the Father's love, we can give it away. We can give the Father's love away. And see, I can go out here and win the world. But what will it profit me to win the world preaching when I don't even reach my own family? With this truth that we're talking about. And I love, brother, it being transparent. Yeah, I had to ask God, I hate remembering those things. But he said, son, I forgive you for those things. And I made it right. I asked my kids, look, I did the best I could, but the best I could wasn't right. You know, I mean, it wasn't some of the things that they wanted to do because I read in the Word, you don't do that. But how many know kids are going to be kids? Children are going to be children. Need to watch how I say kids. This one lady rebuked me one time. She said, do you know what a kid is? I said, yeah, children. No, kid is a goat. I said, okay. Okay, whatever. I thought it might have been pro kids or something. I don't know. But anyway, you hear what Adam lost, he restored. Okay? And notice what it said. Let's got 5 minutes on me. Okay. Let's go back to it. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigns from Adam unto Moses, even over those that had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Who was to come? Was a type of him who was to come. Okay, go with me to Hebrews right quick. I shared what happened to Adam, but I want you to see what Jesus did, okay? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. If you get there, if you're not there, just write it down, okay? But We talked about how Adam lost his crown of glory, his recognition. And when you're trying to bring about your own recognition, how many know you're operating under the fallen? You're allowing that to come back in. Okay? All right? Okay. It says, chapter 3, verse 12, take care, brethren, that there's not in any of you, and well, no, I got the wrong verse here. Hold on. Go back to 14. It's 2 and 14. I'm sorry. Yeah, Hebrews 2, 14. Hebrews 2 and 14. He says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might destroy, that he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is who?
The devil.
The devil. How did he receive his power? By Adam. Now Jesus, the second one, did what? He's taking it back through death. He partook of the same flesh and blood as you and I, so that he can identify with us. He can identify with our hurts, Brother Ed, our disappointments, the time we missed it. He can identify with that. And he says, through death, he might render powerless him who had power of death, that is, the devil. Listen at verse 15. And might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For surely he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to who? The descendant of Abraham. How many know we're descendants of Abraham now because of faith? Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God to make propitiation or an atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are what? Tempted. In other words, he's able to come to your assistance when you are tempted or suffering because he partook of the same as you and I, yet without sin. Amen? Father, we thank you so much for the lesson this morning. We pray, God, that you will seal this word, and we pray, God, that your presence will fill the atmosphere today. God, we pray your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for all the people that will be ministering today. We pray your anointing upon them and through them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.